Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's give you a few headlines here, and we're going to talk some college football with Heather Dinich from ESPN. That's going to be in just a moment. The big story in sports is a big contract. Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City agreeing on a 10-year contract extension worth $450 million, could go up to $503 million. He is now under contract to the Chiefs through 2031. The NFL and the NFL Players Association will hold a conference call today. They're going to be going over information on how training camps are going to be run. The Raiders reportedly made an offer to free agent defensive end Jadeveon Clowney. Good news from the NHL. They have agreed with the players on the return to play protocols, phase three and phase four, and a four-year extension of the collective bargaining agreement. The schedule is set to resume August 1st in the hub cities. I believe now they're called secure zones. The NHL also says 35 players have tested positive for the virus since June 8th. Major League Baseball released its schedule yesterday. Opening night will be July 23rd. MLS is back this week with their return-to-play tournament in Orlando, but FC Dallas will not be participating. They pulled out of the event after 10 of their players tested positive, and no fans at the PGA Memorial next week in Ohio. They were hoping to put some there, but the PGA came out yesterday and announced they would have no fans on the course. Those are your headlines. The story, of course, continues about how sports has been impacted by the pandemic. College football is on tap. We're getting from going from voluntary workouts in the next week or so to mandatory workouts, and then the schedule is scheduled to begin on August 29th. We are joined right now by ESPN's college football playoff reporter, Heather Dinich, and she's with us on our Western Hotline. Heather, it's Howard and Jeremy. Welcome to the show. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
So I know a lot can happen. We know that this is fluid and different things are happening over the matter of days, hours, weeks, what have you. But as you talk to ADs and football coaches right now around the country, a month and a half shy of the opener, what's the general sense you're getting? Optimism, pessimism? What are they telling you?
The general sense is probably growing pessimism, but also a sort of, hey, if we can do this, we're going to do it mentality. And, you know, I don't think anybody's been surprised to this point by the positive tests that have popped up from coast to coast as student athletes returned for those voluntary workouts. But I think what you're seeing now is that as they are on campus and they stay on campus, it's that how do you control them for the 22 hours or whatever it is that they are not under the supervision of the athletic department. And that's where the concern lies and continues to lie, because as you see across the country, much of the surge in cases doctors are attributing to the 18 to whatever younger range, right, of people who are getting infected.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting, you know, Heather, if you look at the stories about the NBA and the NHL and you're hearing, you know, professional athletes talk about, are you going to be able to keep your teammates in check? Will everybody stay in the bubble and behave themselves? Imagine now multiply the numbers to all of the players that are on scholarship on a college football roster and the walk-ons and you know, college kids who are going to want to hang out. It's a sizable problem.
It is, exactly. And, you know, American Athletic Conference Commissioner Mike Oresko told me last week, I talked to him on Friday, and he said, look, if students are not on campus, regular students, right, then all bets are off, right? Because he says it's highly unlikely that if universities don't open their doors for the fall, then college football players aren't going to be there, or any athletes for that matter. So I think that's another big thing to pay attention to, is what are the university presidents doing?
I think one of the questions, I think most people would say, well, here's an easy thing to do. Why don't they just postpone it and push the season to the spring? You get more time. Maybe the cases go down. Maybe there's a vaccine. Maybe you could have fans in the stands by then because it would be safer. Why don't they just say, the heck with it, we're going to wait till after the first of the year, or push it into the spring?
Well, because from the people that I've spoken to, and I've talked to a lot this week, we're actually going to write a story about it coming up on ESPN.com next week. But what people are telling me is, look, there's not any guarantee that there is going to be a vaccine. And if it's not safe to do now, what makes anyone 100% sure it's going to be safe to do in the spring? I think that's the biggest question. The second thing I'm hearing is just the quick turnaround, right, that bumps up into the 2021 season and protecting the student athletes. You know, the situation would be, from what I'm told, play March, April, May, which means that you probably have to start what we're going into now, the conditioning and all that, the preseason practice, essentially in January, which is still bumping up against the flu season, right? So, and then you got the issue of the draft. So everyone that I've talked to has said, is it doable? Yes, it is. Is it our first choice? Absolutely not. Is it our second choice? Probably not.
Yeah, right.
But we're going to dust it off, and we're going to keep it out there just in case we have to resort to that.
So what about, okay, if they stay in the fall, how many options have they been considering if they stay in the fall, whether it's a delayed start? I've heard talk, you know, people have talked about conference-only schedule, maybe play half the schedule. What kind of options would be there if they say, we still want to start, you know, in September or late August?
All of those options that you mentioned are still on the table. I think, based on what I'm hearing, the conference-only schedule is still a very serious consideration. That's an interesting possibility, because it would give schools the flexibility to bump it back if you're playing fewer games, right? And it would also give them a little bit of wiggle room to make up games. Say if Syracuse couldn't play Boston College, right? Then there's an extra week in there to figure that out. And then you bring into question that if you go conference only, what happens to Notre Dame? And I think that there is an underlying unspoken agreement that the ACC would help out Notre Dame in that sense. So I think that there are certainly contingency plans that the commissioners and decision makers in the sport have gotten their heads around. But I also think that I don't know yet that they're ready to jump on it and say, okay, let's do that.
Well, that would be my next question. Then you have an article up at ESPN.com about the Power Five leagues, and they're kind of doing a wait and see. So is there a deadline? Is there a date, as far as you know, that at some point, well, by this date, they're going to have to decide, are we playing in September or not?
Right, and based on everything that I've been told in recent interviews, that benchmark is the end of this month to say we're going to start on time or not. Now, that doesn't mean that tomorrow they can't say, hey, we're going to go conference only, right? But I that doesn't matter if you can't play come August 29th, right? So I would say by the end of this month, there will be some major decisions made as far as the actual timing of this season.
We're with Heather Dinich from ESPN. If they play, Heather, let's say they play in the fall, but there are either no fans or limited fans, there will be a loss of ticket revenues in some way, shape, or form. What are the possible ramifications down the road? How do you think the pandemic and what plays out the rest of this year could impact, if it does, the landscape of FBS going forward?
Well, I think it depends on how severe the financial ramifications are. I mean, one thing that I've thought about that could absolutely happen, that we're already starting to see happen, is cutting back on coaches' salaries, right? I mean, you're seeing, it seems like every week there's, hey, 10% pay cut here to help with the pandemic costs. And, you know, I talked to Shane Lyons at West Virginia yesterday, and that's one of the issues between separating the FCS and some of the haves and have-nots right now is the ability to pay for these tests and test the athletes. They're $100 a pop, roughly, right? And you're talking about testing just football players alone, and he estimated you'd be talking about $10,000 a week. So you're already seeing salary cuts, and I wonder if there are long-term ramifications, if that's part of it. I think another thing that you could see is more regionalization of sports, meaning does Notre Dame send its softball team to Florida? Probably not, you know, if there are budget cuts. Hey, we don't have to eliminate this sport, but we're not going to play tournaments all over the country. We're going to see what can we do on buses. So I think things like that are things that you could see as far as non-rev sports go.
With the non-revs, we have seen the elimination of some sports at some institutions. Do you anticipate that it could get worse?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think it was Boise State that cut baseball just last week. You know, you're seeing that there, and I do think that we'll see more of them because some of this certainly isn't sustainable. And if you do go to a conference-only schedule, how does that impact some of those other maybe group of five or certainly the FCS? It won't surprise me, honestly, if by the end of the week the FCS cancels sports. We'll see. The Ivy League has a major decision coming tomorrow on that, and I would expect the Patriot League to follow. And that could be a domino effect, but people that I've talked to have said this is not necessarily going to affect us at the group of five, power five level.
So for those of you who get lost in the letters, the FCS is the old 1AA. So you think they might actually just cancel the whole season this week?
They might. I'm not sure. Their announcement is tomorrow. I think the most important question is how does whatever they do impact the big boys, right? And I don't necessarily know that it will. I just glanced at the Washington Post yesterday, and I saw some things about Harvard and Princeton just in terms of reducing the number of students on campus. Mm-hmm. And you saw how the Ivy League had a trickle-down effect in basketball. But again, I don't know if that got too much credit, because the people that I've talked to, Power Five commissioners, one of the biggest factors that shut down college sports was Rudy Gobert and the NBA. I mean, yes, the Ivy League kind of started the decision-making process, no doubt about that, but it's also very, very different from what the Group of Five and Power Five conferences have going on, not just financially, but academically and where they're all located as well.
Final thing for you, Heather. You mentioned Group of Five, but I'm going to ask you about the other schools, because here, you know, in Buffalo, we have the University of Buffalo. They're in the Mid-American Conference. What about those conferences? Is it possible you'll see one plan for the power leagues and a different one for the rest of FBS?
It's possible, but based on conversations that I've had, including with MAC Commissioner John Steinbrecher, they are talking more than ever before. But the bottom line is this. The decisions made by the Power Five Conference Commissioners are going to drive everything else. And I think the Group of Five will try to follow what they do. But again, how does the conference-only possibility factor into those conversations and what they do? It's going to be an interesting couple of weeks, guys.
Heather Dinich with us, college football playoff reporter for ESPN. You can read her work at ESPN.com. Nice to have you on the show with us this morning, Heather. Thanks for giving us your time, and hopefully, if there is a season, enjoy the college football season.
Hey, man, I'll tell you what, it's a lot easier to tell you who the top four teams are going to be than talking about this. Thanks, guys.
I would have asked you about the top teams, and I just feel it's like, maybe not yet.
I know.
Right?
It is. I'm like, wait, what's going on with football?
Yeah, right? No, there's some, like I said, honestly, look, I heard a discussion this morning, that if they push the season and the NFL says, we're keeping the draft where it is, the Trevor Lawrences of the world, you wouldn't even see in the next college football season because they wouldn't want to run the risk of playing with the draft just, you know, right around the corner.
And that is a major concern, especially in the SEC. I can tell you that. Yeah. Yep.
Thanks, Heather. Appreciate your time this morning.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Heather Dinich joining us on our West Hur Hotline. And she mentioned the Ivy League, so they're going to have an announcement apparently tomorrow. There's some speculation they could announce that their football season will be pushed to the spring. So we'll see how that might impact things around the rest of Division I.
It's one of those things that, you know, you've got the derby, which happened, could happen in the fall, and football that happens in the spring. And, you know, we talked about this right at the beginning of all of this happening. Like, what if one of the changes we get, we just keep because we decide we like it?
Right.
Whether it's the Masters in October.
November, right. Yeah.
Yeah, you never know.
Yeah, well, you know, there was talk even before the pandemic, I think before the shutdown, or maybe right at the beginning stages of it in March, that it was the Hawks owner. There's been some talk that maybe the NBA at some point would consider switching their calendar. And instead of going October to June, they might go December to August. Well, now, I mean, you're looking at the NHL, by the way, which says they're maintaining a plan to play a full 82-game schedule next season. So we're talking December to July, August, maybe. Maybe this leads to leagues switching their calendar, so to speak, and not, you know, not having the first month of their season go head-to-head against the NFL and the college football in month two. Well, it remains to be seen. I don't know. It's just weird with college football, Jeremy. They have the biggest challenge of anybody, just by sheer numbers, you know? Like I said, 85 scholarship kids, and then however many walk-ons you have, maybe there's 100 kids on a roster at camp, testing all of them, you know, keeping them from going out and hanging out in the clubs and the bars, or just, you know, visiting people. And it's a major, major challenge, let alone the cost, as Heather mentioned, of doing all the tests and everything. I don't know how they're going to get this all done and play a full schedule in the fall. Just can't. Anyway, I'm a skeptical person when it comes to overcoming these. I think college football has the toughest job of anybody, NFL, any other league, because of the sheer numbers they're dealing with.
Yeah. Well, I mean, in part because they're not professionals.
No, right.
Like, you're they're under contract.
Kids. Yeah. Right. You know, and then again, with all the, and then there's traveling, and right, are you, you're, you know, you have chart, granted it's charter flights, but you're still going to have student athletes, these college football players, getting on planes, getting on buses, traveling all over the place, staying in hotels, all these different things. Are they going to start doing game day travel only? Like the NFL's talking about, okay, maybe we won't charter out the day before a game on Saturday and stay in a hotel in the road city. Maybe we'll just fly out Sunday, we play the game, we come right back. And I don't know if college football is going to start doing stuff like that. There's a lot of stuff that can happen in the next few weeks to figure this stuff out. Anyway, you wanted some names.
Yeah, I like the betting lines for the Washington football team's new name.
So this is from betonline.ag. These are odds and names. So you want to just go in order, favorite to long shots?
What are the odds on the Kraken? Are they going to get ahead of the thing and take the Kraken?
I'm looking at the list. Hang on. No, I do not see Kraken on the list.
Okay.
Ooh, I'm trying to think what name I would prefer for Washington. I like the fish throwers for Seattle. What is DC known for other than, like, I mean, monuments and
government?
Gridlock?
Traffic.
Potomac River.
The Potomacs? The Washington Potomacs?
The beautiful National Mall.
It is a lovely mall, by the way.
Yeah.
They're not known for a particular delicacy or anything, right? They're not known for a food item in D.C., are they?
No, that's more Baltimore in the Chesapeake area.
Yeah, I mean, crab cakes. You could call Baltimore the crab cakes.
Here's a question for you. Do you want it to fit in with the Nationals and the Capitals?
Yeah.
Right? I guess the Wizards are
the
just
theme.
There.
Yeah. I do. I mean, it is D.C. I think it should be themed in that way, some way, shape, or form. Like, I like the presidents, but that's just me being a presidential nerd. Red Tails is the favorite. 3-1 odds.
I like that.
And that's Tuskegee Airmen, right? Tribute to the Tuskegee Airmen and the planes they flew. I like that. That's nice. Timely and a good idea. The Generals. See, now I find that funny just because it'll always make me think of the basketball team that loses to the Globetrotters all the time. 4-1 odds for the Generals.
Were they the Washington Generals?
Who? The football team at some point?
No, the Generals. Where were they from? The Harlem Globetrotters and the who Generals?
The Washington Generals. They were just a traveling team that traveled with the Globetrotters.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about
them?
So
you would just...
You would just name them that?
That's what I'm saying. It's the exact same name.
Yeah, it is the exact same name. The Washington Generals are the basketball team that travels with the Globetrotters.
I do want to say one thing about Washington here, you know, in terms of the timeliness of changing their name. I feel like they've never had fewer fans, and they've never been a worse team / brand / right? They've never been more irrelevant in the NFL. Can you remember?
No. Well, you'd have to go.
They're going
certainly
through the
2000s not pre-Dan Snyder. They're certainly not pre-Dan Snyder, but.
Right.
Yeah, you just think about you know, not making the playoffs, not having, you know, who's their quarterback. I'm not sure how many guys I could name on their roster, quite honestly.
How about the lobbyists?
No? Let me see if that's on the list.
Not on the list?
No, but it should be, shouldn't it?
Okay. Yes.
I got it.
Washington House of Representatives.
No, I got it. I have the name I want. I absolutely have the name I want. The Washington Filibusters. Okay, I mean, I guess neither of you are impressed. We'll move right along.
No, you know what? It's funny. The Filibusters sounds like it would be a minor league baseball team name because minor league baseball teams that do names
right.
like that.
Filibusters. They just keep playing. They never give up. They're willing to play all day if need be to get a win for our fans.
Would you call them the Busters or the Phillies?
Well, you can't call them
I
guess you could. It's a different league.
Just like what would fans call them, you know?
The Busters. The Busters. Apostrophe, Busters. Let's see, we did Red Tails and Generals. The Presidents, 5-1.
Terrible.
The Lincolns, 6-1.
Bad.
Bleh.
Can't play on April 15th. The Veterans, 8-1.
Bad.
The Capitals
Pass.
With an O.
No.
Bad.
The Americans, 10-1.
The Amerks have that, right?
Yes.
Right.
Right.
No.
Correct.
Nah.
The Washington Memorials.
No.
Bad.
The Washington Monuments.
No.
Bad. A bunch of guys that just stand still. The Washington Kings.
Bad.
There's already two other leagues with Kings in them.
Why have a
third one?
I don't even know.
Pass.
The Washington Roosevelts.
Pass.
Yeah, I mean, I love presidents, but the Washington Redhawks.
That's fine.
The Washington Jeffersons.
No.
No.
I'm saying Washington because I think you get a feel for how the name works in full.
Yeah, of course. It's got to
Ladies and gentlemen, here they are, your Washington Renegades.
There's always a Renegades or a Roughneck.
That's 22-1 odds for Renegades.
Yeah, I mean, isn't there a Canadian team, the Renegades?
Is there a CFL team, the Renegades?
No, I think that's Roughnecks.
Yeah. Didn't one of them change from Rough Riders?
One went to the Red Blacks.
Ottawa, I think, is the Red Blacks, right? Yeah, I don't think there's a Renegades. Saskatchewan's the Rough Riders.
Calgary's the Rough Riders.
Yeah, they were the Ottawa Renegades.
Was Renegades an XFL name?
Yes, I think so.
All right, look that up.
Hold on.
The Washington Arlingtons.
No.
What?
Arlingtons, like, you know, Cemetery, Arlington, Virginia.
No.
The Washington Hogs.
Dallas Renegades, by
the
way.
Thank you. Okay, the Hogs, 50-1. The Snowflakes at 500-1.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a bad bet.
And the Trumps.
No.
Yeah, also a bad bet.
You change your name after 4 years. And then they had some Cleveland stuff, too. So some of them
if the
baseball team changed their name. The Spiders is the favorite, 3-1. The Naps?
Did there used to be a team called the Cleveland Spiders? It feels like, yes, there was.
I don't know. What, in baseball, are you saying? Or?
Professional baseball team from 1887 to 1899.
Yep.
You looked it up. I thought you were guessing, like you were just playing Just Guessing, and you would say, yeah, they were a professional baseball team from 1887 to 1889. They were.
Not only that, but the Wikipedia logo was kind of sharp. All right, I'm into spiders. What else you got?
The Cleveland Naps?
I mean, baseball
they just
can
nap
be kind
on the
boring.
Field.
Get naps? Like lay down, take a nap?
Yeah,
naps?
Sure.
I mean, I'd vote for that. Oh, there was the Cleveland Naps, American League team in 1911. They were called the Cleveland Naps. Okay. The Guardians.
No.
The Buckeyes.
No.
Oh, my God, no.
No.
The Dobies, named after Larry Doby, first African American player in the American League, played for the Cleveland Indians. The Wild Things. Huh? What about it? Charlie Sheen comes in.
If they're a minor league team, yes.
No, okay. You give out glasses to everybody. Charlie Sheen throws out the ball on opening it. Okay.
Nope.
The Blue Sox.
No.
No.
Used to be the Utica Blue Sox in the NYP.
Yep.
The Rocks. Cleveland Rocks.
I'll go with that.
Rocks. I'm okay with that. You have the theme song.
Spiders is still best.
The Cuyahogas.
Yeah. No.
You don't like the Cuyahogas named after the river, huh? Okay. The Crows.
Nope.
The Rockers?
Nope.
The Unions?
Nope.
The Fellers? Named after Bob? No. Or, here's the one I like, the Cleveland Great Lakers.
Oh, get out.
You don't like any of the names I like. The Great Lakers, come on. You're it's great,
terrible.
And you're on the Great Lakes. Great
Spiders
Lakers.
Or Rocks?
Spiders is fine. All right, well, that's settled.
Rocks is a close second.
It's okay, no matter what. No matter what either of these teams change to, if Seattle does go with the Kraken, they will own the worst team name in sports. So, like, the pressure's off. There's going to be a terrible name out there when Seattle goes with the Kraken. You got nothing to worry about.
So, would you rather have fish throwers or Kraken?
Yes. Everything's better than Kraken.
Okay, I win. You're finally on my side.
Yeah.
Okay,
we'll
good.
Fish throwers.
All right. I have accomplished something today. I can go home happy. 803-0550 to join us. 888-550-2550 here on WGR.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
That's been in a good position going into this void that's there at the 2C position. Dylan Cousins, everybody I've talked to, says that this guy's ready to make that jump. He's ready to enter the NHL to compete for a spot next season, if that's truly the case. And you can assist in other areas. You need another top six winger to enter the equation. There's no question about that. You've got other holes on that roster. You've got a guy in Dylan Cousins that for the next year or two is going to be making a significant case to be your 2C.
That is David Pagnotta from the fourth period. He was on with Brayton recently. If you missed the interview, it's available in on-demand audio, WGR550.com. Headlines. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to tell you who's bringing the headlines now because I've forgotten to do this twice this morning. So headlines brought to you by Excelsior Orthopedics Express. Got a sprain, strain, or break? Get to Excelsior Orthopedics Express. Patrick Mahomes is getting to the bank. 10-year extension with the Kansas City Chiefs. Worth $450 million, could be as much as $503 million. So on top of what was left on his current contract, he's now under contract to Kansas City through 2031. The NFL is going to have a conference call today with the Players Association. They're going to go over some of the rules and regulations about how training camp will be run. The Raiders reportedly made an offer to Jadeveon Clowney. He's still out there on the free agent market. The NHL and the NHL players have agreed on both return-to-play protocols and also a 4-year extension of the collective bargaining agreement. The league also announced yesterday 35 players have tested positive for coronavirus since June 8th. Major League Baseball released the shortened season schedule yesterday. It'll open up with the Yankees and the Washington Nationals as part of a doubleheader on July 23rd, San Francisco, LA to follow. The MLS is back this week for their return to play tournament in Orlando. They're using the bubble down there. But FC Dallas will not be playing. They pulled out yesterday. They had 10 players test positive. Premier League, zero positive tests for the virus in their most recent round of testing over there. And the PGA announced they will not be having fans next week at the Memorial Tournament in Dublin, Ohio. Those are your headlines. Thanks for hanging out with us. We're talking about Patrick Mahomes' contract. Whatever else is on your mind, in addition to that, you can always join us, 803-0550 or 888-550-2550. Would you like an Eichel trade?
I'd prefer no.
You know what I meant, by the way. That question didn't sound right.
Again, we've got to check every box.
Yeah.
Who's keeping track of whether we're checking every box of every team?
This is a new team. We have not heard this one yet.
Okay, so
this is definitely
to the list.
Yeah, this is definitely a new team. And I know, like I said, Brayton longs for this. Again, I probably shouldn't have phrased it that way. Nobody wants him traded. We're just screwing
around. You want an Eichel mock trade. That's
yeah,
the way
an Eichel
you
mock
trade.
We're just screwing around because it seems like gradually through the NHL, you're finding more and more media members or blogs, whatever, from the different cities that are suggesting, hey, should, fill in the blank team, trade for Jack Eichel? What would it take?
We've had teams such as Anaheim, Philadelphia, Edmonton,
Montreal,
the Flyers, the Sharks,
yeah. The Bruins were mentioned.
The Bruins, that's right.
The Bruins, yeah.
So that's about, you know, seven or eight teams, I guess.
Now,
we have the Washington Capitals, kids.
Oh, all right. Okay.
This is from Jack Dawkins, who writes for thehockeywriters.com.
The deal starts with Backstrom.
No, it doesn't.
No, okay.
Not according to Mr. Dawkins, although that's one of the names. Here's what he wrote. What would it take? The magic, what would it take portion of the article to get Jack Eichel. I will read from his article. The Capitals are blessed with two excellent centers in future Hall of Famer Nicholas Backstrom and Evgeny Kuznetsov. For Eichel, also a center, to make any sense for the Capitals, one of those players must go back to Buffalo in the trade. Backstrom recently signed a new contract, so it stands to reason Kuznetsov would be the odd man out. He does.
I mean, like, this is where we have to say, you're not trading an odd man out here
right.
to get this guy. You're
right.
trading someone awesome that you don't want to trade.
Yeah.
But you're doing because you think, fine, we'll get better.
Kuznetsov is 28. He had 83 points a couple years ago, 72 points, been a 20-goal scorer three times. So Kuznetsov, he does further write, this just in, Eichel for Kuznetsov in a one-on-one deal, not quite enough to make the trade happen. Eichel's 23, Kuznetsov is 28. Buffalo has to receive more in the deal. Don't get too excited on this one.
Okay.
Lars Eller. Eller, he writes, I wish I had your face on my phone right now. Eller brings some 5-on-5 point production while also being solid in his own end and capable on special teams. Big, strong, smart, reliable player with veteran experience. The Sabres might want to explore a trade for Eller outside of this discussion about Eichel.
Yeah.
So it comes down to this, Kuznetsov, Lars Eller, and a 2021 first-round pick to the Sabres for Jack Eichel, and since they threw in a pick, the Sabres would have to throw in a pick, apparently, a 2021 second round
absolutely
pick.
Absolutely not.
Every one of these deals
you're getting
really
way
wants,
too upset.
Every one of these deals really wants the Sabres to include a second round pick.
Yeah, they had to
every
have the pick.
Every single one of them.
Yeah. Had to have the pick because, you know, the Caps threw in a pick. Lars Eller? I mean, Kuznetsov, we might have a discussion starting with Kuznetsov, although he's not their first center.
He's 28.
But Lars Eller is going to really tip the deal?
Yeah.
Like Kevin Adams and Ralph Kruger are going to sit there and go, Kuznetsov, well, it's not enough. All right.
And Lars Eller's 31, too.
We're throwing in Lars Eller. Sold!
Well,
it's funny.
Yeah.
It's just, that's laughable. But that's why I like doing this stuff. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, there's another NHL story that the cap recapture has been amended in that new CBA.
Okay.
You know about the cap recapture penalty, right?
Is this back ends of deals or something? Or no? Go ahead.
Yeah. This is. There's a good look in what the NHL is and how it runs its league. You know, like, we have mocked it because of the return to play and the lottery and the alpha-designated teams. But if you follow a quick timeline of what they did, Kevin, who writes about the Sabres a lot and tweets about the Sabres a lot, posted this, that so teams signed contracts that were legal in the CBA, right? Like the Kovalchuk contract,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yep.
And there were a couple others. I want to say maybe Shea Weber is like this. Luongo was like this. Christian Ehrhoff was circumventing the cap by front-loading a deal. It was legal. So then the NHL changed that and penalized those teams retroactively. Oh, you signed a deal that was legal. Now that's against the rules. Now we have a cap recapture program, which means if a guy retires early, you are responsible for paying cap penalties on that.
Okay.
Not anymore.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. It's over.
Gone, huh?
Yep. Michael Russo has a piece in the Athletic about Zach Parise. So Parise and Suter were two guys that were signed under deals like this, right?
Yeah.
And if they were to – he had a 13-year, $98 million contract, and it's just as simple as the front-loaded deals that the NHL decided were against the rules are no longer against the rules in the new CBA, or at least the penalties are lessened. This is, of course – one way this affected the Sabres was when they bought out Christian Ehrhoff, right? They bought him out.
Yeah, they're still – are they still paying for him, or did they finish?
They could have traded Christian Ehrhoff for a really nice piece, but didn't because they were afraid of the cap recapture. And here the NHL and the new CBA
– yeah, that's weird.
– has eliminated the cap
recapture. Why? Why are they eliminating it? It seemed like that was a good thing to prevent general managers from circumventing the cap.
I don't know.
Is it just one of those things where all the GMs, like a little, you know, nudge, nudge, wink, wink, let's all just circumvent the cap, let's get rid of this thing?
I suppose.
That's odd.
It is?
Okay. I can't figure out. I wish I knew the reasoning behind that because it doesn't seem to make sense. You'd want to have some kind of protection mechanism in your CBA to prevent this from happening in the future.
So, the NHL, they kind of change things on the fly.
Interesting.
You know, they kind of do what they're feeling at the time.
All right. 803-0550 to join us this morning. 888-550-2550. You can share your opinions on the Patrick Mahomes contract, the impact if you think there is any on the Bills, and Josh Allen and the younger quarterbacks in the league. We've been talking about that. Whatever else is on your mind, you can join us as well at 803-0550. Top of the hour, we'll do a little baseball talk, spring training is underway. Spring training 2.0. The Jays made it to Toronto, at least most of them. Some of them had to stay back in Florida due to positive tests. We'll find out about Toronto and the Jays and the season and all that fun stuff. We're going to be speaking with Shai Davidi. He is the national baseball columnist for Sportsnet.ca. He's with us top of the hour, WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Good options that should be available for Buffalo there, you know, unless the cards fall in a completely unexpected manner. The question is, who are they going to shake? Who do they like most? Because their brain trust right now is very new, you know, between Crow and Nightingale and, of course, Kevin Adams. We don't know. They don't have any history, really, of being in decision-making positions. So they're a black box. And, you know, I think we're going to learn a lot about what their intentions are through what they end up picking whenever the draft happens, I guess, in October sometime.
There's Ryan Wagman from McKean's Hockey Magazine talking NHL draft, which is going to be, you know, a few months down the road. Did they have, let's see, when was the draft set for? Did they have it listed in the protocols the other day? Cups,
yes.
Going out first week of October, right? And then the draft November 1 was free agency?
The draft, free agency is November 1st, and the draft is supposed to take place sometime in like mid-October.
Okay.
Wow. That's pretty. I mean, that's far away.
Phase two of the draft lottery is going to take place August 10th.
After the play in the first round of the whatever the heck they're calling this thing. Okay.
Yep.
Why don't they just have the draft? You know, once you get the order, I guess the whole thing needs to be done.
Yeah. Right? Trades, picks, teams, where they are, all these different. Like, right? Isn't one of the hang-up conditional
you just have
trades
the first? You know, the first 15 picks,
yeah,
and then say, "Well, wait after that."
Well, you know, because
these teams something to talk about. Give your other teams something to, you know, post at their websites and give them the opportunity to continue to stay relevant in their communities.
They're looking for that all exciting phase two draft lottery show, which I assume they're going to have a televised NBCSN two draft lottery.
Sure of that. I'm sure of that.
And the number one pick belongs to
should have been the worst team.
It's just the one. So the phase two is just the one pick.
Yes, just the one pick. But maybe all of those eight teams have the same odds to get him.
So they would do, right? They are going to do a TV show for just one pick.
You know what's funny? Okay. You know what's funny is that the one team that I'd actually want to be able to have them win the draft lottery to get Lafreniere is Arizona. Because they've been in it forever. They've never won it. And not only that, but Taylor Hall's there. So it would be another Taylor Hall draft lottery win for them.
But Taylor Hall's probably leaving, right?
I mean, I don't know.
See, he's got to continue his streak. He's got to go to another team, and then that team wins the draft lottery, which would be...
He'd still be technically part of the Coyotes before he hits free agency, so...
Okay. I don't know. Let's look at the last few winners. Buffalo, New Jersey, Edmonton.
Toronto.
Toronto. Yeah. Toronto was actually good for the league. Can we get Lafreniere somewhere? Will he be seen? I mean, you say Arizona. I think I'll never see him play. I want an East Coast team and somebody that's good.
If they bring back those Kachina jerseys, they should be showcased every night. Hmm.
What time do they play? 9 p.m.?
An East Coast team that's good. Penguins? Flyers?
Well, I mean, if he goes to
sure,
the Penguins
have won their share of lotteries.
Can't go to the Flyers.
East Coast team that's good.
Yeah, you can't
go to the Flyers. He could go to Montreal.
They're not good.
Montreal.
They haven't been that good.
Just, you know, if he's good and fun to watch, I'll take him on a team that I can watch, you know. The NHL has really not done well with that the last few years.
And the NHL is going to want him in a U.S.-based market, too.
Maybe.
I would think from TV purposes, like, if he goes to Montreal, sure, he's in the Eastern time zone, but I'm not sure if they're going to load up on Canadians games on NBC outlets. But if he ends up in, what are we talking, Philly, Pittsburgh, well, Chicago's central time zone.
Pittsburgh, Chicago, any team that's, not
Washington's in the round robin. They can't win it, right?
Can't. So, Washington, Boston, Tampa can't. Philadelphia can't. And the other, it's
Carolina's in there.
Carolina's is eligible. Oh God, I don't want to see
Columbus
Carolina TV anymore.
I would think that they would love him in Pittsburgh or Philadelphia, a U.S. market with a successful franchise that they love putting on Winter Classics and they love putting on NBCSN on the night you love to hate or whatever the heck they call it these days. I would think the league would be thrilled if he ended up in Pittsburgh or Philadelphia.
Yeah.
I'm not rooting for anybody. By the way, Arizona, if he stayed Taylor Hall, that would continue the streak. It was Edmonton and New Jersey where he shows up and they both end up winning the lottery. So this would be the third team he would be on that would have won the lottery.
It would be the sixth time that a team that Taylor Hall was on wins the draft lottery.
That's incredible.
The Oilers won in 2011, 2012, 2015. The Devils won in 2017 and 2019.
But he...
Jeez.
Yeah.
When was he... he was still with them. He was traded during the... Okay.
Yes, he was still with the Oilers when they won for Connor McDavid.
He was traded in the off... Okay. That's sick. Six lottery wins? That would be crazy.
That would be insane.
I'll root for Arizona just for that. I don't know. I'll make that a stat of the day if that happens.
Ooh.
Stat of the year worthy.
Still less than the number of men that walked on the moon. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
We've got some guests coming up. I've got a good topic that I meant to bring up earlier in the show. We just hadn't gotten around to it that we can kick around. Maybe I'll even wait for tomorrow at this rate. Right?
Hey, I'm not going anywhere. I'm working all week.
All right.
Yeah. Bring it in tomorrow. Is it fun?
Yeah. It's a little bit about Mahomes and the afternoon show's next draft.
Oh yeah, what
the, what might have
what might
been
have happened?
Draft.
Or what might
what
have been?
Might have been.
I need time to talk. Think that I've got
There's
to think up scenarios.
So
right,
many answers.
Yeah. Oh, what is it just? Is it just about that, or you're coming up with all the different storylines that could go into a what might have? Right, you're drafting all the different things.
You're drafting all the things that what might have
happened. Like if Norwood hit the kick, whatever.
Right.
Anything.
Or if Bruce knocks the ball out, or if Drury if Drury and Briere resign. If the Bills draft Mahomes, or if
the Sabres don't have all their defensemen injured,
or if the Bills don't trade up for Losman,
or if the Sabres never had to go through draft lotteries, they'd have Aaron Ekblad and Connor McDavid.
Oh, for just being the worst.
If?
Yes.
What if?
Well, if they have Aaron Ekblad, are they the worst? And do they still finish in last?
Maybe they did that year.
I don't think they do. He was the rookie of the year. I mean, I just don't think you finish in dead last place if you have Ekblad.
Still could have tanked.
But again, right there, it's the what might have been draft.
Okay. I got to put this on my homework list. Okay. 803-0550 to join us. 888-550-2550 on WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.